All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects, hour number one, three-hour show for our guest. Number one show in the time slot, number three show in the city. Keep that in mind when you decide to guest host on other shows, especially when your creative juices are always flowing better when flowing through Pac-Man Joel. Hey, no!
He's no never more wasted come back time. Now.
Jeff Blum joins us right now on the show. Blummer, it's a Way Back Wednesday, just to fill you in. Way Back Wednesdays, we pick themes and we go songs pre-2009. Hopefully you've seen The Dirt, the Motley Crue Netflix. If you haven't, you will love it. And with that great hair you have, I'm sure back in the day you had a propensity for moosing it up and throwing a little eye black with different colors and doing a little hair metal.
Moose and eye black, man. That's a little out of my my skill set.
Wasn't that your Padres years?
No. But, you know, it's funny enough. I think it was in high school. Me and my buddy just kind of caved in after, I think, of that Kickstart My Heart album or Dr. Feelgood. And we just said, screw it. We're going to go all Halloween this year. And we, you know, one of us was Nikki Sixx. The other one was Tommy Lee. And we almost got kicked out of school for the outfit we wore.
If you were Tommy Lee, in a lot of ways, you were doing all right. You'd be fine.
Yeah, I didn't have to stuff anything. That was the good news.
Didn't have to bring me the Louisville Slugger.
That's fantastic. Blummer, so you were a hair metal guy, huh? You partook?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, my mom sat outside my bedroom door and was worried why I, you know, and wondering why I was playing Ministry and Slayer and Metallica and all that.
That's outstanding.
Fantastic. Seriously, if you haven't seen the Netflix biopic, Barry suggested it. I watched it the other day. It's fantastic.
I'm going to do that.
I use that on your road trip. So speaking of that, you got a road trip already coming up. You're heading to Tampa for the open of the season for our Houston Astros. Talk to me about just the whole preseason, the fact that this extension thing has gotten to be a big deal. It used to be, hey, it's just one of those things players have to suck it up, that they have to deal with team control until it expires, and then you got to go try and get yours. Now it seems like Jeff Luhnow and the baseball staff of the Astros are ahead of the curve in trying to send a new trend that really looks good for players, agents, and the team when they're looking at guys looking at the Astros.
No, I absolutely agree, and I think it's kind of fun to watch, you know, the Astros kind of lead the way in some of these analytical categories, but also leading the way in, you know, procuring good talent and keeping good talent, because I think one thing that gets lost in free agency is that loyalty, and it seems like that loyalty is coming back because free agency is getting a little bit sketchier for some of the older guys. And now guys are able to lock in. Altuve signed a 7-year deal to stay in Houston. Now you've got Alex Bregman for 5 more years. And there might be other guys on the table that might be able to have the same opportunity. So that's great for the fan bases around baseball to see that happening. But the marriage between analytics, the eye test, and team loyalty has really, really come together nicely here in Houston to be able to keep guys like Alex Bregman, Altuve, potentially Correa, Springer, Garrett Cole, and these guys around for a while because they know they're good, they know they're great for the community, and they're just a ton of fun to watch. So it's a lot of fun to see that kind of happen.
All right, Blummer, Astros are one of the best teams in baseball going into the season. I think most people have them picked to have the highest win total. I've seen the Yankees up there as well. But what would you pinpoint as a weakness on this team that maybe either got addressed in the offseason but is still a weakness or didn't get addressed that you would have liked to see them do something before the trade deadline? And I say that just from the standpoint of this team is so good that it's going to be hard to say that they're bad at any one thing. But I'm curious what your thoughts are on where they could improve.
Yeah, I was going to say, my gosh, you know, that's like trying to pick a weak spot in our broadcast. There isn't one. but I mean, if you had to nitpick and you said, where can I actually get better? I think the depth of the rotation, but only in the sense that if you could go out and get a proven talent to fill in, you know, that 3-4-5 spot in the rotation, you could say that. But at the same time, you know, we just have unproven talent. There's, you know, Josh James, what can he do in a full season? Framber Valdez, we've seen flashes of brilliance from him. You know, Whitley, Bukauskas, Morton, we saw these guys in spring training. So that's really the only weakness is maybe that the talent that they do have coming up potentially at the back end of that rotation is unproven. But there's always the potential that they show up and do great things like we saw them do in spring training. So it's just a matter of time. But there's no real weakness for me on this ball club unless you get incredibly nitpicky and say, I want one more arm to really go through a three-game series, because you're going to be hyper. You're, you know, 2-1 and 2. You've got Cole Verlander. McHugh's going to be a good addition, but you don't have that dominant 1-2-3 like you did last year.
Yeah, it's funny because last year, I mean, you could make a legitimate case that the starting five, their starting rotation was 4-1s and a 2. I mean, you could literally case. And now you've had to settle by sprinkling in some threes. And like you said, a Josh James, who probably on a lot of teams is a three. So, yeah, it's funny that that's what we have to consider a weakness.
Let me ask you that. With that being said, Dallas Keuchel still out there, and you as an ex-player watching what's going on with salaries, and a lot of guys still kind of out there. Craig Kimbrell and others are out there as free agents still. It was a very slow off-season process. Verlander very outspoken about, you know, what the heck's going on here with the system. Your thoughts on one, Dallas still being unsigned? Is there a chance he comes back? And then just overall the whole free agency stuff.
Well, until he signs with somebody else, I'm going to go ahead and say that there is an opportunity that it comes back, because I would imagine, you know, the relationship is already established between the Astros and Dallas Keuchel. Now it's just a matter of, can they get the right numbers if he wants to come back, if the Astros want to offer enough to get him to come back. But it's frustrating to me to watch a guy of Dallas Keuchel's caliber, you know, the Cy Young in 2015. Granted, he's, you know, that was a great year on a great ball club. Maybe he doesn't match that again. But even if he is just under that Cy Young level, he is going to be an incredibly valuable, serviceable guy who's been, in his past, been able to go out there and get you 200 innings and keep you in ball games. That's the frustrating part for me. But at the same time, you know, it's both sides. It's an organization that says, no, we don't want you for X amount of years. And then it's on the other side, it's the player that says, no, I deserve that kind of time, but nobody's willing to offer it to him. So I can only imagine the frustration that's mounting for Dallas Keuchel, because the season is starting tomorrow. If he signs now, his spring training will be the month of April. And if you're lucky and everything goes right, he starts for you on May 1st. But that's not guaranteed. So now you're compressing that first year that you have Dallas Keuchel into a 5-month stretch if you're lucky. And that's where I think the issue starts to set in. But I don't think he can afford to miss much more time.
Speaking of missing time, talk a little bit about Correa. He's got the neck issue. He's questionable for the opener. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but AJ Hinch came out in regards to this and said, look, it's disappointing. Like, it's disappointing that we haven't had him the last couple of games, and now he might miss the opener. And it sounded like a little bit of frustration in AJ's voice, and I may be wrong in that. Your thoughts on Correa and the neck and how AJ Hinch views that right now?
I think they're always going to err on the side of caution, especially this early in the season. And you got to remember, you know, the 2 days off here, the exhibition games at Minute Maid Park, I just kind of threw that away. I was just, the level of expectation to play in those games isn't very high to begin with. And if you have a nick or, you know, a strain of some kind that you don't want to go on the field with, I don't think management has a problem with that. So these 2 games here at Minute Maid Park, I just kind of throw away and, you know, give him credit for getting a little more extra time off and get in the training room, get the treatment, get it right for potentially opening day.
We have a Nick. He's our producer, and it does cause us a lot of strain from time to time.
I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, it was easy.
I'm sorry.
It's just easy.
It does equate to scarring and history and, you know, baggage being carried around. But, if he doesn't start opening day, then I wouldn't push the panic button, but I would say, hey, there's a little bit of concern. I think, you know, a day off here, in, you know, with the 2 days off in Minute Maid and then the day off travel day to day, hopefully he's good tomorrow. But I'm with A.J. Hinch in the sense that I'm disappointed because what we saw in spring training was a healthy Carlos Correa hitting the ball extremely hard and making great plays at short, and that's what we've come to expect from him. If we get anything less than that, there is concern.
All right, you guys were talking about where there might be a weakness. I want to talk about one that was identified as a potential weakness in the offseason. They went out and they got Robinson Chirinos as their starting catcher. They have Stassi backing him up. I look at that position. I look at a Chirinos who looks even skinnier to me than he was with the Rangers, too, and I wonder, is that a good thing? Are you good with the catchers that they have, or is that something that they're going to kind of monitor as the season gets going?
Man, you got to pick on that one scab I was trying to look over and let you up, man. No, I'm with you. And it's going to, again, it's not a knock against these guys, but I think, you know, the opportunity to maybe bring back a Maldonado, maybe be an opportunity there, or if there was an opportunity to go get a JT Realmuto from the Marlins, now he's with the Phillies. You know, I really would have, I would have emphasized that just because you see a pitching staff like the Astros have and you say, I want somebody that can go back there and catch the baseball, work with these guys and help us win. And if we get an occasional big hit, that's an added bonus. But their primary focus as a catcher here with the Astros is be a good receiver, be a good teammate, call a good game, and limit mistakes. That being said, Stassi's a very good catcher, gets a lot of pitches for his pitchers, a relatively decent catch and throw guy. Chirinos is a guy who's, you know, I think he was more of a threat at the plate with the occasional home run, had 18 home runs last year. But he's kind of working himself into a position behind home plate where he's got to work well with these pitchers. And, you know, there's really nothing that jumped off the page that said, wow, Robinson Chirinos is an upgrade over a Maldonado. But I think A.J. Hinch is just going to have to find a way and ride the hot hand on who's got the hot bat or working well with the pitcher and keep him out there, because the primary focus for these guys behind the plate is catching those pitchers and making sure that they are getting the best out of those guys every 5 days, man.
All right, we got plenty more questions. Real quick, we're going to take a 10-second pause for station ID, and then we're going to come back with more Jeff Blum on the Astros and the opening start to the 2019 baseball season.
ESPN 97.5.
I listen to this all the time.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
That's what I'm saying.
A Gao Media station.
All right, Jeff Blum joins us, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Jeff, I want to talk a little bit about this West, this division that the Astros are in. I think part of the reason why they're projected to win so many games is I think the West isn't the worst division in baseball, but it's a lot of mediocrity. What are your thoughts on Oakland, and are they going to bounce back and have another spectacular year? The Angels looked to got better. The Rangers and Mariners were busy in the offseason, but I don't know if it made them any better. Thoughts on the whole West and how it shapes up?
Well, for me, the Seattle Mariners were good last year and then traded away some key parts, and now they're, I think they're not, I don't know, even know if you can call it rebuilding mode, but they're not the same team they are last year. I think it's going to be the Rangers and Mariners pulling up the rear. The Rangers did make some moves, but they were lateral moves or not moves that were going to push them towards the level that the Astros are at. I think the Angels are going to be good if they can stay healthy. That's the biggest thing for them, is their rotation has been good and been able to hold down the Astros in the past, but only when they're healthy. And when they have injuries and bring up guys, they usually get hit around pretty good. The Athletics are interesting to me just because I enjoy what they've done. I like the way they play the game. I like their young talent. But at the same time, I felt a little bit like last year was overachieving for them. They had a couple of key guys move in Jed Lowry and Jonathan Lucroy, who's now with the Angels, who's going to help that pitching staff in Anaheim. But it would be tough to repeat what they're doing. I agree completely with you, you know, in the sense that Boston and New York are going to beat the hell out of each other in the East, and that might suppress some of their win totals. Whereas in the West, like you said, it should be a pretty dominant performance. If the Astros are healthy and swinging the bats like they can, they should blow through the West pretty easy.
Blummer, before we get any further into baseball or anything else, I do want to give you a chance to plug this podcast. It's been fantastic for you since you got it going. And for people that just love listening to that just top-notch broadcast on AT&T Sportsnet, or they just need more of you on a daily basis or at least weekly basis, tell them a little bit about what's going on with that podcast.
It's basically just me and a good friend back in California who played a couple of years in minor league ball, still hangs around the game, still talks the game. He loves talking sports. His name's David Tuttle, and we just pick an hour a day where we just kind of chew on some stories that we've heard about throughout the course of the season. We hit on some Astro topics. We kind of, you know, beat each other up a little bit in the beginning because we're a bit of a mess, and we can, you know, be idiots on our podcast a little bit every once in a while. But it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot, and it's called Bleacher Blum. And if you like sports with a lot of Astro emphasis, please get on it, download it, because it's been a blast. It's on most major platforms, but I appreciate the plug, man, because I feel like we're getting our legs under us a little bit and having a lot more fun. But the topics recently have been pretty good, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I heard you got a new segment that's appropriately named Blum and Blummer.
Yeah, you know it. I got a hint from one of my good friends that I know pretty well in town.
You're welcome.
Believe it.
Hey, Blummer, I'm curious. We talked a little bit about the West. Thoughts on the entire AL? I mean, who do you see as the division winners in the AL, and who is your early season pick to make the wild card?
Oh, man, it's going to be Yankees, Astros winning their division. The Central is going to be the Indians, probably, if they can stay healthy and keep their pitching staff intact. There's not much competition out there. I think Minnesota's going to sneak up on them and challenge them a little bit, but I don't think they overtake them in that American League Central. And then, of course, the Yankees out of the East are probably going to be that wild card. I just don't think that anybody's going to be able to overwhelm them and do it. So you're going to see some repeat offenders in the American League, because there's those teams that went last year are stacked, and those teams that are going to be in it this year are also stacked again. It's just a matter of, you know, who can come out of that American League and challenge for that World Series championship. But it's going to be the same. I should say, it's going to be the usual stuff in the American League.
Look at that. That's
I like what you did there.
That's
yeah,
a professional
that's
right there. So you said Yankees, Indians, Astros are your division leaders. You got the Red Sox making the wild card. Who's your second wild card team? I'll give you four choices. The Rays, the Twins, the A's, and the Angels. Who are you picking as your fourth or your second wild card team out of that?
I'm going to go out west and go with the Angels. I think that they've got something in store. I expect Brad Ausmus to go out there and really try and push some of those buttons. Pujols saw a couple of games in spring training. He looks reasonably healthy, but they had a couple of guys. You know, Justin Bour is going to be interesting. I'm going to pick the Angels just because I'm curious to see if they can stay healthy and compete.
Okay.
All right. That means to me, Blummer, the biggest thing this year with those three teams really, really close and evenly matched, Red Sox, Yankees, Astros, trading deadline could be a big deal. You mentioned the fact that depth at the starting pitching for the Astros might be something to look at. You look at the Yankees, they tried to bolster what was an up and down pitching staff. Severino's out for them. The Red Sox named David Price their fifth starter, but we'll see how all that plays out. Trade deadline could be very important this year based on the fact that there's so many teams bunched up.
Absolutely. That's always the interesting part, is that so many of these teams, even as good as they are and they're competing, what's great, like the Astros, is that they have these minor league systems that they're able to go out and dangle those prospect carrots out there and say, we'll give you a couple of our young guys if you give us a high-quality starter in return, or a DH or a catcher in return. So that's where the fun kind of sets in for me, is now in the last couple of years, I feel like we've really been able to check out what teams are doing and kind of anticipate their needs. Yeah. And you start to see them go after these guys, but then you can also kind of play the game like, what if they throw this guy at him? Would they take him? And that's where the fun is for us sitting at home, you know, armchair GMing.
Well, you talk like a guy like Trevor Bauer. Obviously, it's a tough mix because of his relationship with Gerrit Cole. But Trevor Bauer, someone's going to go after because he's already said, this is my last year in Cleveland, and I'm going to play one-year deals. And somebody that needs a hired arm is going to go look at him. And with only one trade deadline this year, that could be a big deal.
No, I agree. And, you know, risk reward, or, you know, is it worth, you know, worth the headache that he might possibly bring in? Because we know his social media presence is pretty extensive and interesting at times, to say the least. And he's established communication with plenty of guys around the league that have been good and not so good. But the guy goes out and competes, and you talk about a guy who can move in and, you know, just take the Astros rotation, for instance, in a, you know, a Verlander, Cole, Bauer type situation. You would have to insert him in that third spot in the Astros rotation. That would make things incredibly interesting. And then who knows? You move Tyler Bauer might want to come over and learn how to pitch with some of the stuff that Stromy's handing out.
Yeah,
I love it. Hey, speaking of loving it, I really enjoyed the thing you did with Tyler White and Jake Marisnik at the Academy.
It was awesome.
Talk a little bit about that. How fun was that? It was kind of an Impractical Joker style thing going on there. Talk about that. That was funny.
Oh, it was hilarious. And we had no idea what was happening. Me, Tyler White, and Jake Marisnik rolled over to the Academy Sports. We were in the Woodlands, and this massive production crew comes at us with cameras and microphones and ideas, and we were like, wait, what's happening? And I mean, Tyler and Jake were stoked. They put the mics on. They put on the Academy polo, and they went after it. They didn't even need me in their ear, even though I was trying to give them a little bit of information. But they ran with it, and it was absolutely beautiful.
Well, it was fantastic because I was mentioned. We were all talking about it before the show today, and some of the highlights: Mariznick talking about his great hair when he had his hair up, and Tyler White thinking that the lady was looking for a soccer ball, and he pointed out a volleyball, and I was like, oh my god. But is this going to be something like the HEB commercials where there's going to be more than one? I just saw the main one that was on Twitter.
I don't know. I hope so, because it turned out to be a pretty good hit. I know they got a couple of thousand likes on their page. I retweeted it and got a couple thousand likes. And I would love to be a little more prepared for that situation because they kind of ambushed us with it.
I can't believe you guys didn't know it was coming.
Oh, it would be that much more fun. So I hope I encourage them, if they're listening, to do this again for sure.
How did you not know it was coming? That's one of those things where you talk about it for weeks in advance, try to set something like that up. That's crazy organic.
Yeah. I mean, they knew what they were doing, but they didn't give us enough information. We were only told that we weren't going to sign and that we were going to interact with, customers. And we just assumed that we would be fake employees and kind of, guide them toward the Astros stuff. But they said, no, we're going to give you earpieces. We're going to, dress you up. We're going to put you back here. I had four monitors to look at. It was insane. There were cameras all over the place.
Whoever had the game-worn Altuve idea, unless that was absolutely just spur of the moment, someone coming up with, was fantastic.
I mean, it's always in the back of our minds, but we love Jose Altuve so much that, like in my position, I don't feel that I can do that. But Jake Mariznick is a little more intimate with the guy.
Yeah.
So he could get away with it. And he threw that out there, and I about lost it behind the scenes.
It was absolutely outstanding. All right, a little bit more on the AL, because I'm curious. Last year Mookie Betts was the hands down MVP of the American League. Thoughts on? I mean, he's going to have competition, obviously, with Trout and Bregman and some other guys. Thoughts on the MVP this year?
Man, you know what? I say it every year that I want Correa to go out there and win it because I think he's that good of a talent, but. I think Bregman actually is a little upset that he didn't get into the top five or even the top three. And as far as voting is concerned, I think he's going to go out there and do a great job. And I really believe that too, because of the addition of Michael Brantley to this ball club.
Yep.
Hitting behind Alex Bregman is going to give him a ton of pitches and opportunities to drive guys in. But Mike Trout's going to have another phenomenal year. You can't ever count that guy out. It's been 8 years in a row or 6 years in a row where he's been in the top two. So. It'll be impressive. Mookie Betts, I would be impressed if he was actually able to put up the same kind of numbers. But don't take your eyes off the ex-Astro JD Martinez. Also, I think he's going to have another great year. This might be the year he kind of pushes everybody out there in the American League East.
You surprised by the numbers being thrown around, the Trout deal and the Machado, and everybody's saying now that Mookie Betts is going to get Mike Trout money. Mookie Betts is good. I don't think he's Mike Trout good.
Yeah, the only difference is, I mean, Mookie Betts has got to show me that he can do that consistently over the years. Now we know he can do it. It's just a matter of, can he do it for a number of years? And that's where the money starts to come in, where I say Mike Trout, that was a deal getting him for $430 million, just because he's got, like I said, 6-7 years of being in the MVP voting, and he is putting up numbers that are ahead of, when they start comparing you at the age of 26, 27 to Mickey Mantle, yeah. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and these guys, you've done something right, and you've really turned some heads. But I think Mike Trout's worth every penny of it. And the only knock I have against Mookie Betts is, does he have the sustainability like Mike Trout?
Yeah, real quick, before we let you go, because we know you're busy and you got to get out of here, but I'm just curious, since we're previewing the baseball season, any thoughts on the NL? Anything stand out? I mean, what are you looking at in the National League and what's going to happen over there this year?
I'm curious to see how the Dodgers unfold, and the reason I think it's interesting over there, just because Clayton Kershaw, we talked about Dallas Keuchel earlier, I think that might be a pretty good fit if they're able to work out a deal with him, because I'm not sure how hurt Clayton Kershaw is with the Dodgers. The West is just going to be fun because I think the Rockies are much better. Can they do it in Coors Field and that atmosphere? Manny Machado is going to be interesting to watch in that big ballpark in Petco Park. Is he going to be able to put up big enough numbers to match that contract? The Central, the Cubbies are going to be very good. The St. Louis Cardinals are interesting to me just because of the addition of Paul Goldschmidt, mm-hmm. and some of those guys they have coming out of their bullpen throwing 105 miles an hour. I can't wait to see some of that. And then the National League East is just going to be an absolute brawl, which I can't wait to see with the young Atlanta Braves, the addition of Harper in that ballpark with the Phillies and how good they're going to be. But then nobody talked about the Washington Nationals and the top three they have in the rotation, mm-hmm. and it blows my mind. So I expect the Nationals to do some pretty good things. I'm also curious if not having Harper makes them better.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, and fear the beer, please. Don't ever discount the Milwaukee Brewers. We know you got things to do. We do appreciate you joining the show, and you got a bus to catch. But look forward to catching up with you throughout the year. And, of course, you can always catch Blummer. AT&T Sportsnet, he and Todd Callis and Julia Morales and the whole crew are going to be at it starting tomorrow, and we'll look forward to watching you every single game.
Well, good being on with you guys. Appreciate the opportunity. It's going to be a good 2019.
There you go. Blummer, travel safe, and we'll see you on TV tomorrow and call us a lot of victories. Jeff Blum joined us right there on a good extended segment. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Ooh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.